today on Power Rangers.
My aching back! You know, I really ought to put some safety seats in this baby! Home sweet home! Yippee!
Welcome to a collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. This is episode 25. I am one of your hosts, DFG and Mike. Joining me from PCN is Scotty Cash. Hello.
What's up?
Oh, not much, not much. And of course, we have the Super Sentai guy, Spirit of the Vault Matrix. Hello.
Hello.
This will be the top 10 PR villains for From the Command Center. However, before we get into the countdown, we have to talk about all of the news and the drama that has been going on with Power Rangers, because if we didn't, people would be like, why aren't you guys talking about this? First of all, let me just say, I do not agree with what Hulu.com is doing with Megaforce. They are airing, they are having the new episodes on their free site version for about a week, and then they are moving them over to the Hulu Plus version. So I'm just going to wait till Megaforce goes to Netflix eventually, whenever it does. I'm not following the show. I have no idea what's going on with the show whatsoever. However, well,
they're already on a break. So,
you know. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I know. I hate it when they do that.
And that was eight episodes?
Yeah. Eight or nine. I think nine episodes, and then it's like, oh, we're tired. We're wore out.
We must stretch this out.
Yeah, that's. Actually, you know what? That's the nature of most television and as far as kids shows these days, specifically to Power Rangers, Transformers, Ninja Turtles. They want to stretch it out as long as possible, even though I know for a fact, last year at BotCon, this time last year, season 3 of Transformers Prime was pretty much in the bag, at least for the voices, because last year at BotCon, David Kaye was like, hey, I worked with Peter Cullen, yay! Not trying to insult David Kaye at all. I love that guy. He's awesome. But now back to Power Rangers here. Since last episode, there has been a lot of news, a lot of talk, a lot of rumors, a lot of fan overreaction, I will say, to the news of the Super Megaforce reunion episode or episodes or whatever. I have listened to Karen Ashley's Uncensored Radio episode that she did, and I've listened to the latest episode of No Pink Spandex with Lisa Jay and her crew on all this casting news or uncasting news for Power Rangers Super Megaforce.
Did you see the thing one comic convention, Jason David Frank talked? Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
The Dallas Comic Con.
Yes.
I didn't see the video. No,
it wasn't anything really different than what has already come to light.
Right, but we haven't had the chance to, because we haven't recorded in a month or so, or whatever, you know. So we haven't had the chance to tie in. And I'm actually glad that the last 2 weeks we've had to delay recording this show, because I wanted to wait. Besides the fact of stuff popping up for you guys, I wanted to be able to sit back after all the hubbub kind of.
So what's being said then? Because Jason David Frank has always said that, you know, and saying one thing and doing one thing is completely different. But he's always said that, you know, he would come back for a dollar as long as he gets to come back. So I don't see why he wouldn't come back. It's not a money issue. I'm sure it's a money issue for some people because they think they're worth more than they actually are. But, you know, and that's just my opinion,
right?
You know, but he's always said he would come back.
You're not wrong.
Right. He always said he would come back for, you know, for.
He even told us as much. And he was pretty much the first one, not he himself, but as far as like anywhere I saw, he was pretty much the first one that everyone was reporting that was confirmed.
Right. And there's no reason that he shouldn't, because he's promoting a lot of his own stuff. So what's going to happen when he shows up on Power Rangers? More people are going to know who he is if they don't know who he is, because today's generation has no idea who the Green Ranger is, the White Ranger, you know, the Black Dino Thunder Ranger. They don't know who that is.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is that we're going to get into the whole list. We're not going to reveal We're going to reveal who has been listed to be confirmed, and we're going to talk about a couple of the ones that were not invited, but we're not going to talk about the entire list of actors. But I do want to say that it just seems like out of the ones that are confirmed, it's more so every other series other than Mighty, like the original three seasons of Mighty Morphin or Zeo or even Turbo. I mean, I know there's some of that in there, but it's like, hey, let's do other seasons. But I want to start with the ones that were
before you get into this real quick.
Yeah.
Talk about the letter that was sent to these people.
Okay. Now this is coming from Karen Ashley's Uncensored Radio. This is what she said on her podcast, radio show, whatever she calls it. I don't know. I don't know what kind of setup they have. She basically said that a letter went out from Saban Brands to all of these actors, saying something along the lines of, "Dear Power Ranger," and then it was a letter stating that they're doing a reunion and would you like to be a part of it, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the whole... All as I know is she said that it started out with "Dear Power Ranger," and that to me, and that's very impersonal. You would think if you're celebrating a 20th anniversary of this brand that you would be able to give somebody a call or, you know, I don't know.
Okay. And
it was a mass email to all of these Rangers is pretty much what it was.
Right.
Do you guys have an issue with that?
Yeah, I think that's very impersonal.
Spada?
It would be, considering there are 60 plus Rangers, they could have put in the effort to just say, okay, say for the MMPR people, they say, "Dear Power Rangers." For the Lightspeed Rescue, they could have said, "Dear Lightspeed Rangers." You know, they could have just, even just that level of personalization would have been better than just a mass spam email.
Okay. Not to defend Saban by any means, because he does a lot of stupid ass shit. Excuse me. I don't ever cuss. Wow.
He is a businessman through and through.
If you work at Lowe's and they send out an email, you've already served your purpose for Saban. You've already done what you do. So you're going to be "Dear Lowe's worker." You're going to be "Dear Walmart employee." So for someone to get upset kind of takes me back to, you think you might be worth a little bit more than what you are, because anybody, and I love Karen Ashley, so I'm not pointing a finger at her at all. I'm just saying I think some people got upset for not really a reason that they needed a little bit more than what I think they should have got. You know, I mean,
but anybody
could have done a Karen Ashley. They could have picked any other Yellow Ranger in the series would have been exactly the same. So for somebody to think that they need to be put on a pedestal, I don't agree with it.
But just to refute that a little bit, how many Lowe's workers show up on your TV in millions upon millions of people's homes every week or every day?
I agree, but anybody can push a cart, you know, a Lowe's worker that puts hammers on the shelf. Guess what? Joe can also put hammers on the shelf.
No? But the thing is, they gave, granted, they were all starting out as actors back then in the early days. They were all, you know, starting out, and they put in their dues. Don't you think that, you know, for everything that they've done for this franchise, for all the, even though they get compensated for fan conventions, for all that time, you know, a lot of these actors could be, "Oh, screw the fans. I want to be a hermit. I want to be an Obi-Wan. You know, I don't want to deal with people." You know, well, people could be like that.
Yeah, but then they're then they're shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, you're being...
Well, right. You're right. But what I'm saying is that it would be nice if Saban paid them what they are worth. And actually, like, instead of... Because the whole thing with Saban is, "Oh, hey, Megaforce, it's the new thing, it's the now thing. We need to focus on the now cast, and no, it's okay if we just throw in a few homages, you know, a cast member as an extra cameo."
Yeah, but
why not dedicate something, like, dedicate one entire episode to the legacy of Power Rangers, like kind of what they did in Dino Thunder with Tommy's backstory. Granted, he was on the cast at that time, but I'm saying, like, if this is going to be a celebration of 20 years of Power Rangers, why not do something specifically for the legacy characters, not just...
I don't mean to cut you off, Mike, but I think we're jumping ahead a little bit too much. Yeah. We were at the email, and now we're at another part, and I think we need to bring it back a little bit. To Scotty's point, I understand it completely of what you're saying, Scotty. There, I get that, but I get exactly what you're saying, and I actually do agree with you on some respect, but we are talking about people in quote-unquote Hollywood here, and you and I both know how petty those people can be.
Yeah.
Getting, you know, you have people that could, if they got a spam email that just said, hey, neighbor, and they live in a neighborhood, they could fly off the handrails over that. Yeah, it's a little bit impersonal, but at least they said and acknowledged Dear Rangers. Right. Now, I think they could have spent the extra 5 minutes that it would have taken to just pop the emails into a few or pop out the emails. But knowing how a lot of these companies work, they probably just set up one mass mailing list, and anything with that specific reply sequence probably just went into a dumpster, but a folder somewhere to be considered later. Now, what we're talking about after that email is the way the cameos would work. You would fly out to New Zealand. You would, I think it was a day or two for travel, 2 or 3 days of shooting, and then a day or two travel back.
No, it was, according to Karen Ashley on her show, she said it was a 5-day trip. They were only going to get paid for 2 days.
Okay, so they were traveling on their own dime, which that's not really all that cool, considering when they do cameos in television or they do a cameo in a movie, normally that's baked into the budget.
I totally agree. And what you said, Mike, it's no secret that Saban's a dirtbag. If you know anything about behind the scenes, everybody knows that Saban cares about making money. He doesn't care about yesterday. He doesn't care about what you've done for him. He cares about what can you do for me now. So I totally agree with being personal on the emails, but he could have individually did, you know, especially the important people. And I don't want to put anybody, you know, Jason David Frank is the Power Ranger. So they could have easily went down and said, you know, Jason, erase the name. Next email, you know, they could have done Danny, you know, just kind of personalize it that way. It would have took, you know, like you said, 5 minutes. But I don't think anybody should be upset about it. And when you guys are saying that what they did for the series, well, what about Saban giving him their shot? You know, where would some of these guys be? You know, why don't you go back and look at Alex Hartman? You know, Jaden from the Power Rangers Samurai. What was he doing before Samurai? Well, I'll tell you what he was doing. He was working in a surf shop, and that's a true story. So now what is he going to do? He's probably going to have some kind of career, maybe doing commercials or something and making more money than being, you know, a sales rep. So it goes hand in hand on I scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Yeah. All right, so I want to start with the ones that were basically screwed over here on this list. First of all, Johnny T, or whatever the hell the producer's name is, I forget what, T-Zack or whatever the hell, he loves his Sentai. Most Power Rangers fans know that he loves the Sentai, and his attitude, at least from what I've heard, is, I don't care about the American version whatsoever. So they invited Rhett Fisher. They then rescinded the offer.
Who's Rhett Fisher?
Ryan from Titanium from Lightspeed.
Okay.
They basically invited him, then uninvited him, basically taking out the entire original American, the only, you know, American-made Ranger out of this entire thing.
That's ridiculous.
That's just so sad. Now, regardless of how we feel about
Do you
Justin, Well, regardless of how we feel about Justin in
Turbo,
you know, Turbo and in Space, they offered him to come back, and then they then rescinded his offer as well. There's no reason on here why.
Well, because they realized what they done.
Well, no. Now, hold on here. Wait a second. Now, Lisa J over at Newpick Spandex brought up a good point. Would we want to see an adult Justin now? That's the thing. Yes, Justin as a kid back then was whatever. We may not like him then. But I agree with Lisa J. I would really love to have seen a grown-up Justin as a Power Ranger. I think that would have been really cool.
But would you want to see him in the 30-second clip walking by going, hey, Justin the Blue Ranger, or do you want to know what he's been up to? If anything, that's a waste. You know,
right?
I mean, that's again, this is all personal opinion. And let me ask you this: do you feel a little bit better about yourself that you got this mass email when you then realize that, oh crap, so only a certain amount of these people got it? Because in the Sentai version, and correct me if I'm wrong, Spada, there was only like one person per series that showed up as like that ranger. So it'd be like, you know, Zio, it'd be like, you know, it'd only be one of the rangers. Then you had in Space, it'd only be one of the rangers. So for more than one ranger to get an email or even a phone call or whatever, like you got Mike and Emily both from Samurai. Well, and Gokaiger, it would have only been one of those rangers.
Well, they didn't have cameos for every single Super Sentai. And the way it happened was they mostly would invite the most popular character. But take Jetman, for instance. They actually had two. They actually had the Red Hawk and Black Condor. So they had more than one. And what was happening a lot of the times was people were coming out and saying, hey, we really want to be involved. And Toei would go, okay, let's see what we can do. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Other times it was, hey, they're just a cameo. They're just sitting in the background. That's all they could do. Or other times they have spoken lines and they actually participate in the show. It didn't, every situation was different. And Toei actually made the effort to really try and do as much as they could. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
And he also is out to make a good product and not a 30-minute commercial so he could sell toys.
And they have, what was it? I think it was 30 or 35 years. It was a 35-year, I think it was a 35-year anniversary. Yeah, 35, so, yeah. And to be honest, Super Sentai and Kamen Rider are kind of like our Disney, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because you've got people that are a lot older than us that were kids then. And it's kind of an institution over there. I can't think of any TV show that has run that long, except for maybe The Simpsons, but that's only 25 years next year.
Yeah. So basically what I gathered from Karen Ashley's thing and what I gathered from No Pink Spandex was that they had 10 spots that they were going to fill.
And that's been confirmed by a couple of different people.
Right.
So only 10 Rangers were going to be called. Is that what you're saying?
10 out of 60-something.
Okay. Yeah.
According to one of the links that you provided, Spada, the main forum list or whatever it is.
Over at Toku Nation.
Yes. We have, according to this, we have Jason David Frank. We have Jason Font, Danny Slavin, Melody Perkins.
Just to hold off, Mike, let's go Jason David Frank, Tommy from... Let's say who they were, because...
Okay, we got Tommy from MMPR, yeah. Wes/Alex from Time Force, Leo from Lost Galaxy, Astronema from Space...
/Carone.
Yeah. Damon from Lost Galaxy, TJ from Turbo and In Space...
Boo!
Carter from Lightspeed, Mike in Samurai, Emily in Samurai, Jaden in Samurai, and Casey from Jungle Fury.
There's a lot of Red Ranger in there.
Yeah, I.
Well, if we're going by most popular, normally it's going to be the Red Ranger, but I don't agree with a Three Samurai, and I'm almost positive that they have seen a picture of, help me out here, Yellow Jungle Fury Ranger.
I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of their name. Anyway, she was in the episode that Casey's in because there was a screenshot where they were both in the same screenshot.
Are you talking about, you're not talking about Serena Vincent, are you?
I don't know who that
From
is.
Maya from Lost Galaxy?
No, I'm pretty sure it was the Yellow Ranger from Jungle Fury.
From Jungle
Yeah,
Fury?
you got Casey from Jungle Fury, and then
Lily.
Lily. I'm
Oh, Lily,
almost
okay.
positive that it was Casey and Lily, and in the background you could see, like, unless she just showed up, maybe it was like a someone took a picture of them during filming, but she's not in it. Maybe she's just there supporting Casey. Maybe they're still friends. I don't know. I just know I seen a picture with Casey and Lily in the same picture.
My whole problem with this whole thing, and this is just my opinion, is that, okay, yes, I know David Yost isn't going to come back for his reasons, and that's, he has every right to do that, and I agree with him. That's fine. But the whole point of this, of 2013, is it's 20 years since MMPR. Why in the world are you going to have one, two, three, two Lost Galaxies, two in space, Lightspeed, Samurai. The Samurai casting is just easy because they're in New Zealand, supposedly. I mean, that's just they just wrapped up last year. So, I would have much preferred, like I said earlier, if they had done something like getting more of the cast members back for from MMPR, Zeo, and and all that versus, I mean, sure, we all want to see all of our favorites. Don't get me wrong, we all do, but we all know, as we've already stated, that it comes down to putting out a product and putting out whatever that Saban Brands wants to put out. Like I said in the beginning of this intro to the show, I'm not paying attention to Megaforce, and I probably won't. Like, this reunion to me, I probably won't pay attention to it until way after it's passed, kind of like when I never really knew about Forever Red, and I went back and I found out about it, and it was awesome. But it's just one of those things where I really don't care at this point.
Yeah, well, if they're not going to do it the correct way,
Yeah.
then they can totally do what you're saying. Well, they can't have all of the original Mighty Morphin because of obviously Trini, but
Well, right, but no. But what I'm saying is, minus Trini and Billy,
well,
what I'm
even
saying is
Billy, they should
like,
go out of their way to go get Billy. And if they're not going to,
but Billy won't come back because of the simple fact that apparently, 20 years later, some of the same producers that made fun of him on the show back then are still working there today. That's why he won't come
well,
back.
if I was Saban and I wasn't going to do it the correct way, I would, instead of having all five of the Rangers on the same episode, or all four of the Rangers on the same episode, I would, well, I guess it would be five if you count David or Tommy, but I would, like on the Sentai on Gokaiger, it was one guy per episode, and they were trying to earn or trying to find that special power for that Sentai, you know? So they could split up the five Rangers and do their own individual episode if they're that concerned about it being 20 years since Mighty Morphin, you know. And I don't think they're really focusing on
No,
Mighty
they
Morphin.
just want to give us Flash with no substance. That's all Saban Brands cares about is giving Flash and no substance. I agree. I think it would be great if Super Mega Force, every maybe 3 or 4 episodes or so, you have two or three Rangers come in per episode of the legacy characters, and then that way the fans get their fan service, and it still maintains whatever the hell the story is going to be in Super Mega Force. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, Spada?
I just think they're really doing a disservice to the fans. I really think that this is as much evidence as anyone needed to say that Saban just doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Pretty
All
much.
they are going to run at razor thin budgets as fast as they can to make as much money as they can. And from a business standpoint, I understand where Saban is coming from. He didn't become a billionaire by just throwing money to the wind. But at the same time, when you have something that has lasted for 20 years and you say kind of F the fans, you're going to have problems. And it's one of the reasons why Toei and Super Sentai is beloved by Power Ranger fans. It's because they take the effort to, you know, try and work things in to make fans happy. Do they always succeed? No. But at least they tried. So you can give them that. And I don't know why Saban refuses to just say, okay, let's put an extra $20,000 into the budget. We make enough on this that we can afford it. And if we spend a little bit extra, we're going to get so much more back.
Exactly.
And I would almost guarantee that probably 60% of the Power Rangers would have done it for a dollar. You know, hey, listen, I'll pay your way. Do you want to come be on there? You know, do you want to come be on the anniversary? I would almost guarantee that most of these guys would have taken a week out of their lives to go do that. You know, like Justin the Blue Ranger, he's always talking about how he would love to come back. You're going to tell me if Saban wouldn't have called him and said, hey, Blake, I'll pay for you to come to New Zealand, a mini vacation. Hell, you can bring your wife. What would you do that for me? You think he's going to say no? Yeah, right.
There are some people that would say no, but as you said, I'm damn sure a lot of them would go yes.
Hell yeah, I would. You know, and if they don't want to do it, then so be it. You know, if he's going to pay for your vacation, you know, maybe give him an extra week. This is what I'm going to pay you. I'm going to give you an extra week. I'm paying for you here. You know, yeah. He can definitely afford it. But like you said, on a business perspective, and that's kind of where I was going with the email, he don't care. He's just out to make money.
Yeah. And see, the thing is that the ones that rejected the offer, regardless of their specifically Billy.
Did Billy get the email? Do you know?
Yeah, I would assume. Karen said they sent it to like we already said, a mailing list basically. So
wonder how in the hell that they have some of these email addresses still. I mean, I guess just contact their.
Well,
it would have gone through agents. I would guarantee you that.
Oh yeah, it would have gone through agencies.
They would have gone through as many agents as they could.
You know, PR firms and all that stuff. But the thing is, like, I can understand why Billy's not going to come back. There was a list on that list that I provided the link for, which will be in the show notes. There was a note on there that Jen from Time Force is not coming back due to SAG reasons. I understand why Kendricks is not going to come back because she's a retired actress.
Well, Kendricks can't because she's got what, two, three kids. She's a full-time mom. I can understand that, but the SAG reason actually goes back to the Time Force and Wild Force movie that never happened. Yeah. And one of the primary reasons was because the SAG came in and there were like all these problems with the Screen Actors Guild, and just Saban went, nope. Or no, yeah. Disney. It was Disney at that point.
So, all right. Well, let's get to the meat of this episode. We spent 30 minutes on this PR, quote-unquote, news/gossip stuff. We are here to talk about our top 10 villains, 5 best, 5 worst, and we're going to come back with the worst ones after this.
I was never allowed to watch this rot. And look how much better off I am.
A living example of the best of mankind.
Not according to our research.
In recent focus groups, 92% find Lothor unlikable.
Unlikable? I show them unlikable.
Silence! Piranatrons! Monsters! Faithful followers! You all know the reason we are here.
Say the Rangers didn't even come close to touching you. But if your Vibrari is so powerful, why didn't you just destroy them? Answer me!
I will, Diabolico. Once it's recharged, I'll lay waste to Mariner Bay. So our Queen Bashura will rise.
All right, we are here, and we're going to talk about our five worst villains from Power Rangers. First, any honorable mentions from you, Scotty?
Yep, Pudgy Pig.
You had to work. Okay. Hold on. Shut up. When we discussed this behind the scenes, how we were going to make this list, the general consensus, minus Scotty's griping, was we were not going to include every single villain that monster that ever appeared. So when we get to the actual lists, they are major characters, not just villain of the week monsters.
Well, the only reason I would kind of argue that is because he was the first monster. Pudgy Pig was the first monster on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episode Food Fight, which was the second episode after Day of the Dumpster.
Yep.
So he's the monster. He's not a special light goat, or whatever the heck that guy's name was, or Razorback Rowley, or none of that crap. You know, he's Pudgy Pig, I'll have you know. So that's my honorable mention.
Spada, any honorable mentions for worst villains?
No.
Wait, that was my best villain, not worst villain. I love Pudgy Pig.
We're doing worst first. We go from worst to the best.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. Honorable mentions for me for the worst villain. Piggy. From SPD. He could never make up his damn mind about what side he wanted to be on. Scorpius from In Space. All he did was just sit there like a blob while his daughter did all the evil.
That's because he was.
I know.
He was a Muppet. An evil Muppet.
That's an insult to Muppets. Master Vile. He's an evil overlord.
Wait.
Yeah, honorable mention means one.
Yeah, honorable mention anyway. Could mean one.
Master Vile, he's an evil overlord, yes, but all they did with him was play out family drama because he's Rita's father.
Which makes no sense.
I know. All right, so the worst villains. Scotty, what is your number five?
Divatox.
I'll talk about her later.
And I assumed so.
I honestly have none of us have seen our list. That's how we do it here at the Geekcast Radio Network and from the Command Center. So I have no idea what these guys are going to say for their list, but I'm almost betting that we will all have the same number one.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Possible.
I don't know. For the worst, I'm betting we will. Spada, what is your number five?
Lord Zedd.
For the worst?
For the worst. Number five.
I could probably kind of peg your list, Mike, but I haven't talked to Spada enough to peg his list. You know what I mean?
Now, the reason I chose Lord Zedd is because he started off awesome. Don't get me wrong. He started off really, really cool. And then after those three episodes, he became almost useless. He would just point and grumble and nothing would happen. And then he managed to get in love with Rita Repulsa because he had to go recharge. Seriously? This is how you're going to retcon Rita Repulsa coming back?
My number five is Lothar.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe we are going to be close.
He, what did he do in...
nothing.
Christ, Ninja Storm. What the hell did he do? He didn't do anything. His nieces, even though they didn't end up being evil at the end, his nieces were more evil than he was. It just... don't put comedy villain... You can have a comedy villain in Power Rangers, don't get me wrong, but it can't be the main villain. For the comedy. It just can't be. And he was half human. He has this backstory.
He has the one problem that a villain should not have. He looks stupid.
Yes, he does. Very stupid. Scotty, what is your number four?
Master Org. He just wasn't really, and I love Wild Force. And I don't know. I really wasn't scared of Master Org. Like, if I was one of the Wild Force Rangers, I would rather fight Master Org than, except for like the end episode. Up to the end, he was just kind of like, I'll push you over. Like, you're just some old guy. You know, I'm just kind of like, you're the greeter from Walmart. I'll shove you down. Leave me alone. And that's kind of how I felt.
Walmart, get your shit and get out.
Yeah.
Spada, you're number four.
Emperor Groom. Grum
from space. SPD, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Besides the last two episodes, he didn't do damn shit. He just sat there and acted like Skeletor. He actually didn't do anything. He had ideas, and then he just went, okay, you go do that for me. I'm going to sit here and be emo.
Emo.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, come on. He hung out with a psychic little girl.
Yeah. Who is pretty much a copy of the Resident Evil girl. The little girl in the first movie for Resident Evil. You know who I'm talking about, right, Spada?
Yeah, the little girl who turned out to be actually the computer.
Yeah, yeah. My number four. King Mondo.
I can see that.
I can see that.
King Mondo. Okay, now let me set the stage here, okay? At the end of... It was the end of season three, right? Or the beginning of Zio or something. Yeah, it was the beginning of Zio. As Spada already said, they basically domesticated Rita and Zed to the point where they were comedic villains and they posed no threat whatsoever. So, hey, let's bring in this big old bad guy in King Mondo, where apparently he is more powerful than Master Vile, who was supposed to be more powerful than Lord Zed. It's this whole rigmarole thing. Yes, King Mondo started out really cool, but again, just like with Zed and Rita, it turned into family drama and incompetence, just complete incompetence on his part of any of the plans he ever came up with.
Very true, but the one thing that, after seeing the original O-Ranger, there was actually a lot more going on with the folks in the Machine Empire than Power Rangers ever really let on. There was a lot of backstabbing, a lot of Hamlet-quality backstabbing happening in the Super Sentai, and just never even showed up in the Power Rangers.
I can't say I wouldn't be glad about that, because I think, you know, having Shakespeare in Power Rangers would be awesome. What is your number three, Scotty?
Grum.
Wow.
Yep. Poopy old ass Grum.
He really was a giant skeletal piece of poop, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't do much. He didn't do jack. He was scary as hell.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. He was scary as hell.
Yeah, he was scary looking, but, you know, you take the red glow out of his eyes and take his staff away, what's he going to do?
Oh, no. I would know. I'll run.
Yeah, and it's not like the little girl was an Evil Inn copycat at all. Spado, what's your number three?
Lothar!
Wow.
The only time Lothar was actually enjoyable was the last, three or four episodes? That's not a good run for a villain.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The only time I thought he was enjoyable was before he became Lothar, when he was the evil brother, whatever it was in Cam's journey, quest, whatever. Like, I found him more threatening then, before he ever became Lothar, than when he actually became Lothar, even in the final three episodes.
Again, he was a joke villain that was highly ineffective.
Yep. For me, although she was semi-hot for me as a 13-year-old, but Scorpina. I'm sorry, Scorpina was just useless. She did nothing to... Even when she and Goldar teamed up from Mighty Morphin, she didn't really do all that much.
Did you know she and Goldar were husband and wife?
For a second there, when I was first... Well, no, I didn't know that. But for a second there, when I was first watching the show as a kid, I thought that they were going to do something really cool with a hero-villain complex, and I thought that she was going to eventually be Trini.
At the end of the Super Sentai, of Jew Ranger, the Super Sentai, they have a baby.
Oh my god.
Wow. Go Goldar, you pig, you.
All right, Scotty, number two?
Yeah, number two,
Scotty. Lothar! Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't fear Lothar at all. I'm going by straight fear here. You know, if you don't scare me, I don't care about you.
Yeah. What about you, Spada, number two?
This is a tie, but there is a reason for the tie, because these two were on the same show. Elgar and Divatox.
Yeah.
How?
I know for a fact right now that probably mine and Spada's lists are going to match.
How freaking inept can you be? Divatox couldn't kill a baby.
Yeah.
She.
Actually, no, I take that back. Elgar was more effective than Divatox.
Yeah. He was. And that is so sad.
Plus, it really doesn't help that the character direction was yet, or was actually really, the first true comedy villain. She's like, I have a headache. She was Rita Repulsa 2.0, but shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Elgar, actually, if you look at Elgar's makeup, or the mask that is Elgar in Power Rangers, and then make that, and then compare that with what you get in the Super Sentai Car Ranger, they're completely different. They took out all the detailing from Elgar's face.
Oh, wow.
If you go back and watch Turbo, you ever notice when Elgar, in the very beginning of the show, when they're driving those weird cars that they had, did you ever notice that Elgar's face looked much redder and much more evil?
Yeah.
That was the original look. That's what he originally looked like. Not happy-go-lucky and stupid.
Yeah. My number two is, surprise, surprise, Divatox. Ah! This bitch couldn't do villainy if it was the last thing on Earth to be done.
She probably couldn't even program a VCR.
Yeah, or a Betamax machine, let alone a VCR. But it's like, she's so inept, she's so incompetent. She has, at first she has dreams about her mother scolding her, and then somehow her mother appears and says, I'm more evil than you are. Oh, why don't you call and get help? And who does she call? Rita. I thought that was nice, though. I thought the little cameo from Rita was cool, but yeah, Divatox.
And weren't they cousins or something?
Something like that, yes. I don't know. That's why she was Rita 2.0, is because they tried to make them related in some weird way. All right. Scotty, what is your number one worst Power Rangers villain?
Divatox! She's the worst ever. Which helped Turbo suck all of the suck ever.
It's sad when an entire Power Rangers series makes Bulk and Skull look as like monkeys. The greatest heroes ever.
I know. All right. Spada, what is your number one?
Vipra.
Yeah, Vipra's pretty bad. I couldn't even put her on my list because she's so awful.
As I was going through the list, I was looking and going back, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll put this person on, or maybe, this guy... wasn't very good. And then I got to Vipra, and all I could think of was, I hate you. She was the worst cast villain ever. This actress could not act. She couldn't be mean. She had she couldn't even pull off an evil laugh. Like, even to song, she wouldn't be able to do it. And on top of that, she was so useless. And of all the villains up to that point, if you saw her, you would just kind of go, and walk away.
Yeah.
And she had a dune buggy.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of is her and her stupid-ass dune buggy.
And the dune buggy would... The dune buggy showed up in the next Power Rangers series. The same one. They just repainted the damn thing.
They got their money's worth.
She and, oh. Worst villain ever. Just ever.
Yeah. Pretty much everything Spada just said, that's why Viper is my number one worst villain.
So she's yours with number one too?
Yep. Had to be. That's why you find the word that's the like I originally was gonna put Master Xandred on my worst list because he basically did nothing, but I'm thinking Samurai doesn't even belong on a worst or a best villain list whatsoever. So yeah, Vipra, oh man. What a bitch. All right, let's hear from the best, and we'll come back with our lists after this.
Oh, oh my God.
Yes, it's so devious and sinister, even for
What's
me.
What's the plan, your evilness?
With the green candle. Formed from magic wax, when it burns down, it will steal the Green Ranger's powers.
To complete the mission assigned to you, I will now resume command. Prepare the palace for my return.
One of my finest accomplishments.
Regret that I have is that when I kidnapped your sister, I didn't destroy you.
Huh?
Ah!
Kina, very impressive.
I feel strong and fast and powerful.
And indeed you are. No one would dare oppose you now, my beautiful Trakina.
I have a little unfinished business I need to attend to.
Thought she was a goner, but the bitch came back. She couldn't stay away.
Is your final chance, Dr. Oliver. Free the gem from its resting place, or feel the wrath of my disappointment.
Do I have to pick one?
Your attempt at levity is as feeble as your attempt at self-sacrifice. If you won't do it for yourself, perhaps you will for your precious students. Elsa.
One question. Why?
Because you and your friends couldn't do what needed to be done. There are mercury switches at your hands and feet. Any motion, and I'll know about it.
You've thought of everything?
No. Just everything you'll ever think of.
Now we're going to get to the good villains, the best villains.
Honorable mentions first?
Yes, Spada, honorable mentions.
Bulk and Skull.
Technically not villains, but okay.
In the first,
they were bullies, but they weren't like.
They
yeah.
were originally set up to be slightly villainous. And if you think about it, they were more of a severe hindrance than anything
yeah.
in the original series. But yeah. they were actually well acted. You go back and you watch the original series, and no, they're not perfect, but. They were actually trying to be mean. They were more effective than everybody else on our worst list in some yeah. respect.
Yeah, think about it as in real life. When you're little or whatever, you're in school and you got two guys picking on you constantly, I mean, I could totally see them as, you know, villains. Of course, they changed it and made him kind of the comedy of the show, but Spade is absolutely right. The first couple seasons or whatever, they were meant out to be just straight dickhead jerks, you know, which could classify them as villains because nobody likes bullies, period.
And they were actively trying to find the identity of the Power Rangers. They wanted to expose them for money.
Yep.
They wanted to become wealthy off of the Power Rangers by exposing them. Now, obviously, they didn't. They wiped their own memory of it, and they went down a path of good. But they were actually pretty villainous.
Right.
So I'm giving them an honorable mention because there are a lot more better villains than they were. But they were real hindrances.
Yeah. Any honorable mentions, Scotty?
Pudgy Pig. Yeah.
Anything else besides Pudgy Pig?
No.
Okay, just like before, I'm going to keep this short, but two on my list, the reason why they didn't make the villain list is because I have better choices on my best list, but Rita made the honorable mentions list. Astronema made the honorable mentions list simply because she eventually turned good. So, yeah. And Ecliptor, I found him really scary, but he had this whole honor thing to him, which makes him a really cool villain and all, but my best list has got better villains than these three. So, number five, Scotty, what is your five, what you think is the best Power Rangers villain?
Mezagog is number five for my list. I'm sure he'll be closer to the number one on your guys' list, but I got some other favorites beside Mezagog. And Mezagog is one of the, he makes my top five because, you know, he was scary. The other four are kind of like my favorites, mm-hmm. and maybe that's why they're on my top five, but Mezagog was probably, if you went by straight, like, who you wouldn't want to mess with or who you're scared of, you would definitely win, because he's half man, half dinosaur. You know, that's no good.
Yeah. Spada, what's your number five?
This one was a tie. And I know we don't really like ties, but I just couldn't separate these two guys because they were actually very similar. Goldar and Diabolico.
Oh, okay.
Goldar, let's face it. Whenever Goldar showed up, the only reason he was beaten was because the Rangers got a new ability.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was highly skilled. And let's face it, if you have a 8 foot tall gold-plated monkey man with wings and a giant-ass sword, that's kind of scary.
I'm running.
I'm running.
I'm dipping out on him.
And go ahead, Scotty.
I'm about to say, they kind of went down the same path with Bulk and Skull as they did with him and Rito in, what was it, season 3? Where he was kind of like a joke instead of a badass.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Yeah, because he was in the garage with Rito Repulsa. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, but yeah, he was definitely an awesome, awesome, awesome villain.
But even at the end, even when things were going bad, he was still a villain. When Rita and Zed were turned human and started doing the dance, he just stood there and shook his head like, oh, no, no. And the reason I chose Diabolico is because he was actually a very effective villain. Again, the only reason he kept losing was because the Rangers kept getting new abilities. And let's face it, at the very end of Lightspeed Rescue, who was the one that actually sealed the deal in killing Queen Bansheera?
Yeah.
It was Diabolico. The dude rose from hell and went, "Oh, you're coming with me, bitch." Grabbed her and pulls her down. That's badass.
Yes, what you got, Mike? Very badass. For number five, up until the point of he got domesticated. In the beginning, Lord Zed was awesome. He was so awesome. He was bigger. He was badder. He was supposedly Rita's boss. And everything he did, the new palace, the fact that he basically confined Squatting Babu to less, like, half of what an actual jail cell is. Lord Zedda, just so, so awesome. In the beginning, he just was. And I just enjoy him. I enjoyed him so much. Because you have all this stuff that he's doing, and the Rangers can't combat it. They can't come up with a new weapon, or they can't get the new Zords because of the fact that you gotta destroy the old Zords to build the new Zords, and this, that, and the other thing, and everything else. So in the beginning, Lord Zedd was awesome. What is your number four, Scotty?
Daishi. Again.
Really?
Again, I'm going for, you know,
scary.
No, favorites. Because Daishi was, okay. Even as a villain, there was times where I was rooting for Daishi. You know, I'm obviously a big fan of Jungle Fury. I love Jungle Fury. And Daishi is, I mean, he was like, you know, he took over this dude's soul. He took over this guy's whole entire body and made him, he obviously had some evil to him, Jared. But at the end, Jared, you know, surpassed it and was good, you know, the inner Jared or whatever. But, you know, I don't know, he's a different kind of villain. He, you know, it's the only time that, you know, a spirit or whatever you want to call him, an evil spirit has taken over somebody's body. You know, everybody else is just a straight villain.
Right, so. Right. Spada, number four.
Number four is a little weird because it's a group, the Psycho Rangers.
Oh, cool.
When I was younger, they actually scared me. I mean, they actually made me go, "Oh crap!" Because they were the Rangers in every way, but way more powerful, and it required the Rangers to literally outsmart them. They had to completely outsmart them. And the Psychos were just this constant threat for a good long while. And then after space, they came back.
Yeah, they came back multiple times. Yeah. There was multiple hints towards, oh, those digicards, or oh this, or oh that. And
they were formidable every single time.
Yeah, they were. My number four, you guys are probably going to want to beat me over the head with a sledgehammer after this. And I have my reasons for this, but the Vengix virus.
Okay, so I can see where you're going to go with that.
It won. It took over the world. There was one city left in the entire world. It won.
Are you honestly, would that really make your list, or are you just trying to,
no,
a shock value kind of thing? Because
no,
okay,
no.
I could see where he's going. My only argument would be, we never saw any of that happen. We didn't see any of that occur. We were just dropped in a world, in medias res, and we only saw him start. At the flashbacks, we only saw that, okay, he became Skynet, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's like, okay, we can kind of guess where it went from there, but we never actually saw it occur.
Right, but see, that's the thing. Like, every other villain, not just in Power Rangers, but anywhere, the whole point of them, their mission is to either take over the world or control something or do something.
It already did. Yes.
It already did.
Yep.
That's my point. And it was on my list way before we even recorded it. As soon as I made my list, that was one of the, it was not, it might not have been at number four at the time, but it was on the list.
It's definitely a good one. It's definitely scarier than hell. You know?
It's unexpected. I did not expect that.
What's scarier than wiping out an entire race? Well, probably nothing.
Yeah. Number three, Scotty.
Psycho Rangers. I also agree with Spada. It would be scarier than hell for you to fight yourself and yourself knowing what you're gonna do before you do it. You know, like, how do you beat yourself that's one step ahead of yourself? And not only that, they looked badass.
How do you beat yourself that's one step ahead of you and only exists to destroy you?
Exactly. And they looked badass.
Oh, hell yes.
Yep. Yeah, they definitely, badass. they're number three.
All right. Spada, number three.
Astronema and Ecliptor. And the reason I paired these up was because the two of them were incredibly effective together. And the actress who played Astronema was phenomenal. I thought she was just absolutely great at playing a smart, sassy villainess.
Yeah, Melody Perkins is an awesome actress in that role.
And Ecliptor was really the first honorable villain that we got. If I remember correctly, he really was the first honorable villain, but he was very powerful. And when he showed up, you shat bricks.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, not him. And he was a unique villain in that he wanted to defeat the Rangers, but he wanted to do it on his terms. He didn't want to do it on anybody else's. And he legitimately gave a crap about Astronema.
Yeah.
He cared about her. He wanted her to succeed. He wanted her to live her life the best way she could as a villainess. And he was against the cybertization of her. He was completely against it. And then they just cyberdized both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were interesting. They were interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They were very interesting because I think when I got to, like, after we did the In Space review and I watched that series, like, that show, like, pretty much alerted me to look out for whenever a evil villainess shows up and there's a character looking for their sister. Like, no, I kid you not. As soon as I watched RPM, I was like, yeah, was gonna be his sister, you know.
And the other thing I like about Astronema is she changes throughout the series. Her hair changes, her costume changes, little bits here and there. The hair is more obvious, but unlike a lot of villains, she actually changes, which is nice. I mean, you actually see not only just growth in the character, but physical changes as well.
Yeah. My number three is Goldar, because as, you know, 13, 14-year-old, Goldar scared the crap out of me. As soon as Rita threw down the wand and Goldar grew to be 50 feet tall, Goldar was scary as hell. Specifically also when he was in the Dark Dimension with whoever they trapped in there, whether it was Jason, whether it was Tommy, whoever, he was just super scary.
I agree.
Super scary.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Scotty?
I don't want to call it cheating, but I'm going to kind of take a page out of Spada's book here. I was torn on my number two, and for a simple reason. I have Ecliptor and Decker. I didn't want to put them both on the same list on the top five because they're pretty much the same person to me. They're very honorable. Like, you know, if they were going to fight and the other person dropped their sword, they didn't want to win that way. You know, and they were loyal to their person. Maybe not Decker. Decker was loyal to his cause. You know, when he was trying to fight Jaden, you know, he was looking for this fight. He was looking for the best fight ever so he could, you know, he could break the curse. You know, and this is what he wanted. And if he died doing it, he didn't care. It had to be the right way. When Jaden was hurt, he picks up Jaden and carries him away so he can heal, so he can have an honorable battle. You know, and I don't know what kind of villain that is, but it just kind of means something. And that's the same way with Ecliptor. He was, you know, he was very, you know, one-on-one. He was very, you know, he was very just honorable. I mean, I don't know any other word to use, but I totally agree with Ecliptor / Decker. I ended up going with Ecliptor, but it was a toss-up.
They're very similar characters, and both of them are equally cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who you got, Spada?
For number two?
Yep.
Yep.
Mezogog. God, what an awesome villain. scary, legitimately scary, legitimately terrifying, because he just wanted to get rid of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just was like, nope, I just want them all gone. Mm-hmm. And he was very effective, and he didn't lash out all that much. He was kind of like I don't want to say a perfect villain, but he was everything that a villain should be. The only reason he was not my number one was because he looked stupid as hell in his evolved form at the very end of the show.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That's the only reason he's not number one, is because he looked like he looked so dumb at the end, and he evolved in just a way that makes no sense. And it really was not a good ending to what had been built up as this really terrifying villain.
Yeah. My number two is Darkonda. Darkonda was one of the first villains post-MMPR that actually was truly evil. Every other villain to that point, Zed, Rita, King Mondo, they turned them into comedic relief. Darkonda was sinister. He was the one behind Caron's kidnapping, turning her into Astronema. He's scary as all hell looking. He was just awesome.
Yeah, he was an evil son of a gun, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Very much so.
Now, was he the one that had the Scroll of Revival?
Yes.
Okay.
Died several times during the series, but was regenerated each time. After each death, he marked another life on a scroll of paper that he carried with him. Yeah, he had the Scroll of Revival.
And he gets props for just routinely bitch-slapping Elgar.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Scotty, what is your number one best Power Rangers villain?
For many, many, many reasons, Rita Repulsa. Not only was she the first villain, she was a true straight bitch. She hated everybody and everything. Oh, it's Zack's birthday? I don't care. Send out a monster to destroy the town. Babu, you're an idiot. Squat, you're a moron. Constantly bitching, constantly griping, constantly trying to take over. There was never a dull moment. Everybody hated her guts. There, you know, some of these series, oh, the villain's kind of got like a soft side. Okay, finally, she might have married Zed under some kind of like a spell or whatever. But mm-hmm. She was just a straight, she was just rude constantly. Her voice was annoying. She was just a straight ass bitch. And that's why she's definitely my number one. And she was the first.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I loved Rita at the time. Looking back on her, she's great. Don't get me wrong, but...
You always remember your first.
God, that sounds so wrong. I hope Barbara Goodson doesn't listen to this show.
She's only the voice. She only gets that.
No. Oh, okay, yes. Barbara was only the voice, but you have to admit, her voicing the character gave the character life.
There's no reason she couldn't have played Rita, because looking at her picture and looking at Rita, they could have made her out to be Rita. I mean, if you just go by the circle of a face, there's not that much difference. You know what I mean?
The only...
Spader, you're breaking up.
The show was filmed at the time. I think, wasn't it filmed in California at the time?
I don't remember.
Yeah, they couldn't get the original costumes at the time over here until like season two or three. And by that time, Rita was already gone.
Yeah. All right. What is your number one, Spada?
Trakeena.
Wow, really?
Yes.
I think even with Mezagog's unfortunate end, he would run circles around her. But go ahead and explain why Trakeena is your number one.
She started off as an evil, spoiled princess.
Yeah.
But then her father, you know, she's kind of like the anti-Disney princess, if you think about it. She's
basically the Power Rangers version of Maleficent.
No, imagine if like one of the standard Disney princesses was evil. You know, the whole, I want more. I don't know what I'm doing, but I just want more. And, you know, all of that. She then fled when she was offered more because she fled for her vanity. But then she ended up training and fighting and growing as an evil character. She started off just, let's face it, kind of dumb, kind of inconsequential, really. But then she just kept getting eviler. And the more she worked and the more she trained and the more pain she put herself through, she gained power and just started going down that dark road. And that road kept getting darker and darker and darker. And then they thought she was destroyed after she went into the cocoon. But no, the bitch came back. And she was scarred and she was hurt and she just came back even stronger and eviler. And then she became the most evil grasshopper in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's pretty stupid and kind of funny, but if you think about it, she had more character development than anyone else I can think of in Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, and that's true.
She's the only example that we have of someone who, you know, starts off evil and then eventually just goes off the fucking evil deep end.
Yeah.
And you see that progression. And if you think about it, all of the other, or most of the other humanoid characters were either turned good at one point or just died.
Yeah.
And not in a blaze of glory, but went out with a whimper.
Yeah.
And Trakeena, she didn't just go out with a whimper. She finally went out with, it took two different Ranger teams to get rid of her.
Yeah, it did.
And
yeah, I can.
So the reason she's my number one and is simply because you see that progression down that dark road. No other character in Power Rangers has done that.
Mm-hmm.
They did a pretty good job on her makeup too, making her look just evil as hell.
Yeah, the use of blue eyeshadow and the lines across her face and then she as the more battles she's in, she gets more scarred, and it looks like her face is cracking at points. Just awesome, awesome job.
Yeah.
Wonder who's Mike number one is.
Well, you can probably already tell. I don't count the puppetry ending he got, but when I first watched Dino Thunder, I'm like,
you're in love with Trent.
Nah. No. That's your job. When I first saw... not Collins. What the hell's dude's name? What's Trent's dad's name? Jesus Christ, I can't remember.
Dad?
Damn it.
Way to kick a guy while he's down, Spada.
Jackass. Basically, when I saw Mezagog in the human form of Mezagog, I was like, that's ingenious.
Anton Mercer.
I thought that was great. I thought that was really interesting. For the most part, most of his evil plans worked. Obviously, the Rangers still have to defeat him. But, you know, he was something that at least I hadn't seen thus far in Power Rangers, as far as having someone who you think a character would trust versus, you know, and only basically Anton slash Mezagog is Power Rangers' version of Two-Face, but instead of Two-Face, it's Two-Body, because they're two different personalities, and it's was really interesting, and he was really, really damn cool. What I've found from most of our list is either villains start off great, and they go out with a whimper, as Spada so eloquently put it, or they start off really crappy, and they end up really cool.
Mezagog was kind of cool just from the beginning.
Yeah, he was.
But then they were with that giant Godzilla.
Yeah, we can all agree. The end of Dino Thunder, that design was not scary at all.
The one thing that Mezagog has that nobody else really had was he had that slow, just terrifying voice. Mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, he would turn his head and go,
yeah, the breathing. Yep.
And it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, if that's not the brown note, I don't know what is.
Yep. Yeah. So that's our lists for the best five and worst five, which would equal a top 10 list.
Not with all those not honorable mentions, they don't know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm going to jump through this computer and bitch slap you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads from PCN and GCRN, and we'll come back with final thoughts and announce what next episode will be. We'll be back after this.
Hey guys, Dirt here. You know, every week a bunch of stuff happens in the toy industry. Some of it's really exciting. Some of it's a lot of fun and very interesting. Some of it's downright pathetic. But if you want to know what's going on in the toy world, then make sure you check out the News Desk every Saturday morning at thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network, where we're going to take a look at that wonderful world of toys, sometimes from a slightly skewed perspective. The News Desk, thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 21st and 22nd is GrandCon Gaming and Comics Convention, presented by Celebration Cinemas. Join us in playing or chatting it up with fellow enthusiasts in a community that understands your passions. Get lost in the adventure of your favorite role-playing game. Admire costumes and art from vendors and attendees. Meet the creators behind your favorite mainstream and independent games and comic books. Check out unpublished games and sneak peek at things to come. You can get all this and more at GrandCon. For more information, please visit www.grand-con.com.
So that's it for the villains list. Any final thoughts, Spada?
I think we had good lists. I think the lists were good. I think we got our points across, and I'm not surprised that we had some of our as much overlapping as we did, because quite frankly, we're very like-minded, the three of us.
Well, with the worst villains, yes.
Yeah, the best. We were all in the same ballpark. The only reason Rita wasn't on mine was because I just liked her in Jew Ranger so much better than I liked her in Mighty Morphing.
Mm-hmm.
But
watch, somebody's going to ask you for a best and worst Sentai list now.
I have already been asked that a couple of times. And I have seen so much Sentai, they all start to blur together at one point. So I might do that as a special, or if Scotty would get caught up on watching Super Sentai stuff, maybe we could do a special episode on that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be all right. So, Scotty, any final thoughts on the lists? Anything you think we could change, or anything that you might have put differently, or anything?
No, not necessarily. I don't want to keep kicking a dead horse here or whatever, but I just want to make sure that I didn't come off the wrong way at the beginning about the email. You know, I totally think that they could have done individually, but as a business, I don't think that they should get that upset about it. So I'm definitely on Karen Ashley's side, or any of the Rangers' sides for that matter, but come on now. It's 2013. Grow up.
Yeah, and I just hope Hasbro doesn't treat the 30th anniversary next year like Saban treated their 20th this year.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, let's hope not. All right, so thank you for listening to us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us, or leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. You can join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. We now have new user forums. It's on the right-hand side. It is free. It's awesome. Come join us. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Mine is TFU and Mike. Spada, what is your Twitter? Because we all know Scotty hates Twitter.
Balt Matrix.
All right. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. What is your Facebook fan page, Spada?
Balt Matrix Reviews, one word.
You can also follow at Pop Culture Network over there as well. You can catch the award-winning video series of From the Command Center on PCN's YouTube channel, youtube.com/PopCultureNet. Or Pop Culture Network, I think is what it is. Call the voicemail line, tell us what show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center, and we shall join us next time when we will be talking about fashion, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, the top 10 costumes in Power Rangers.
I thought we were doing fingernails and toenails.
Boots. Boots.
That's... boots.
Good Lord. All right. I am TFG and Mike with...
Scotty Cash.
And Spade of the Ball Matrix.
Thank you for listening. We will catch you next time. Oh my god, boots. Give me a break. Where's the puss? Oh wait, that's the wrong thing.
Hey, Skull, what's that sound?
I think it's those gray guys behind you.
What gray guys? Hey, Skull.
Yeah, Bulgy.
They're coming toward us. We need the Power Rangers.
Let the power protect you.